later to learn, was getting worse and more complicated by the day. A state of emergency was declared, and it was not just because of the Portuguese leadership's stubborn belief that the truth was harmful, especially if it was disclosed. Mr. Black tried to perform his duties as if nothing out of the ordinary was going on. When the need arose, he would spend days calming people down, always repeating the official line. "Ladies, gentlemen, there's no cause for alarm. Just enjoy your stay here. Everything will be just fine." It wasn't difficult to believe him. Everything did indeed look just fine. In fact, Estoril was more like Biarritz or Monte Carlo than ever. With hindsight, it is interesting that no one at the time realized what was more than palpable all around us, that these were the first days of the brief but glamorous period that was to become known as the Golden Age of the Riviera. The hotel manager was so busy that day that he didn't even have time to smoke a cigarette. It was not until the late afternoon that he managed to extricate himself from his duties. He announced that he did not wish to be disturbed. Once alone in his office, he stretched out in his chair and put his feet up on the desk, like a cowboy. Even if he had been seen in that position, nobody would have blamed him. His feet were so sore that he could feel them tingle in bed at night. Also, he was an American, and Americans did not consider such behaviour particularly rude. Noteworthy items on the desk included, apart from the Palacio manager's feet, the daily newspaper, and a folder containing the hotel guests' registration forms. The front page of the paper, Republica, declared, "The longest day of the year." It was true. It was already past 6 o'clock on the wall clock, but outside, the sun was still shining bright. However, there was not a word in the paper about the refugees or the widely rumoured German invasion of Portugal. He had intended to look through the hotel registration forms before handing them in to the police, but simply didn't have the energy. He closed his eyes. In the darkness behind his eyelids, he heard sounds he otherwise seldom noticed, the hubbub on the other side of the walls of his office, footsteps on the floor above, the distant whistle of a train. A knock at the door startled him awake. He looked at his watch. It must be something urgent. It was only 6:30. He sat up in his chair, straightened his cuffs and collar, brushed the dandruff off his shoulders, and waited for the second knock. "Come in," he called out. It was Lino, the concierge. He walked in and briefly stated the problem.
"Excuse me, sir, but the matter appears to be delicate. I'm afraid it requires your attention."
Lino was an experienced member of staff, and if he had had the choice, he most certainly would not have disturbed Mr. Black. But situations that only the manager could resolve, once rare, had become increasingly frequent of late. It was always the same story. Guests wanted to pay their bill in valuables instead of cash. And Mr. Black always had the same dilemma, whether to buy their jewellery, art and antiques at a price that suited him, or turn them away because they had no other way of paying. He did not need to ask any questions. He told the concierge to bring in the guest, and since Lino was already acquainted with the problem, he could stay and help out if there was a snag. The guest squinted, as if he had emerged from a dark dungeon. He shook hands with Mr. Black and sat down on the proffered chair. He was clasping a glass of lemonade. For the first few seconds, they stared at each other across the desk. The manager kicked off the conversation with the conventional, "How can I help you, young man?" The guest, speaking fluent English with what sounded like an Afrikaans accent, briefly explained that he needed full room and board at the hotel for an indefinite period of time.
"Are you travelling on your own?" the manager inquired.
"Yes, on my own,"
the guest replied. He did not seem bothered by the indiscreet question. The manager thought it might be a good idea to check the guest's papers, and asked him for his travel document. He gleaned from the Belgian passport the following basic information. Name, Gavriel Franklin. Sex, male. Marital status, single. Place and date of birth.